Unity. And we see also in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he couldn't believe what was going on in the church. He says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. And as you read through the chapter, you can just hear Paul's anxiety boiling up inside of him, saying, what's going on here? Is this true, what I hear? Are there divisions among you? This can't be. You guys are Christians. We have one Lord, one Savior. And yet I hear this. Is this so? So tonight, four simple things that I want you to commit with me to observing for the sake of unity in the body of Christ. Number one, keep the focus on our purpose. Keep the focus on the purpose. Do you hear me? Keep our focus on our purpose. Romans 14, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Mutual edification. As we take a look at our purpose and our vision statement. By the way, a couple of the ladies in the church took our big vision banner thing in and getting it framed this week. When is it ready? Oh man, it's not ready for the weekend. It'll be ready for Easter. And, you know, I'm excited. I think it's a beautiful thing. I think it's something that we'll look back years from now and say, that's awesome. That's still our purpose. That's still where we're going. What is the I in lives? Infectious love. Infectious love. Infectious love, it means it's something that's communicable. Like a bad disease. Except we're not spreading a disease. We're wanting to spread something far greater, far more life-changing. But we have to keep our focus on what we're here to do. Take, for example, soldiers, a military platoon who are given a job, a task, any task, a task of taking a hill in battle or something. Their focus must be on the task ahead. Their focus is not in caring about the color of the skin on the person next to them. Oh, you're the wrong color. You're from the wrong color. You speak the wrong thing. Their focus cannot be on their educational differences. God has given us a mission, and the enemy would like nothing better than to see us distracted by the many things that come our way. And there are always many things. There are always going to be something that's going to come our way and be a hindrance and a stumbling block to the race that we're running ahead of us. Keep the focus on our purpose. Number two, refuse to listen to gossip. Most of you have signed a membership covenant in this church when you came. Whether you came through baptism, whether you came from another church, you were already Christians when you came here. Most of you signed a membership covenant. Number one on the membership covenant was, I will protect the unity of this church, of my church. You said, I'm going to be a part of protecting the unity of my church. There were three things given in how to protect it by acting in love to other members. By refusing to gossip. And thirdly, by following the leaders. But the focus is, I want to protect the unity of this church. And I want to encourage you, as fellow Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, when someone gossips to you, by the way, you know they're gossiping if they or you are not part of the problem, or they and you are not really part of the solution, then it's gossip. And I want to encourage you, when someone gossips to you, have the courage to say, please stop, I don't need to know this, I'm not involved. Have you talked to the person about it? That's how you handle it. That's how you handle. I want to encourage you. Commit with me to refuse to listen to gossip. And always remember that people who feel free to gossip to you will also feel free to gossip about you. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. So you, by saying, no, I don't want to listen to this, talk to the person, you are also helping them to grow, helping them to change. Refuse to listen to gossip to protect the unity of the church. Paul writes in Galatians 5, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. What does this sound like to you? It sounds like cannibal Christianity. They're biting and devouring each other. How? Were they literally gnawing on each other's foot and arms? I hope not. But how were they doing it? By the words they were saying to each other, the things they were talking about, the hurt that they caused by the mouth. James says the mouth is a dangerous weapon and it destroys. It's like a fire and it spreads and it keeps spreading. Yeah, there's many illustrations that he uses. It's like a ship's rudder. It's like, what else was there? We studied James a while back. It's a wild animal that no one can tame. You put a bit in, never mind, you know what I'm talking about. The cannibal Christianity, and let me tell you, cannibalism is just not natural, nor is cannibal Christianity. Don't bite and devour one another. We're to use our mouths for edifying each other, building each other up, encouraging one another. When you guys come to church, my desire and my goal is to build you up and add value to you and your walk with the Lord and to your life by the words I say. And I want you to be able to leave here after coming to church saying, I am built up. I want to live for the Lord now more than I did yesterday. Now, in the past, I've been to many a church and I've been to many a service where a pastor feels it's his obligation and duty to kind of dangle people over coals every time. You ever been in services like that? You ever been in a service where it's constantly taking shreds off of people's backs? Now listen, there's a time. There's a time when the Spirit convicts us. And the Spirit speaks to our heart and we can't help but come to Him in tears and fall on our knees and say, God, forgive me. I confess and I repent. That's the Spirit's work. That's what He does. That's His job. There's a time for that. But far greater is the time that we should be spent in edifying and building up and lifting up. Because all through the week we get torn down. We need to be here for one another to build up after a week of being torn down. Number three is practice God's method of reconciliation. God's method of reconciliation. The truth is this, bad things will happen. The truth is this, your brothers and sisters are going to do something to annoy you or do something to hurt you, whether intentional or not intentional. That happens. I do it. Some of you know I do it. But these things happen. But we need to remember God's method of reconciliation. If you're hurt, Jesus said, go and talk with your brother. Talk with him one-on-one. What do we often do? We go and talk with everybody else but our brother. Go and talk with him one-on-one and work it out with him. And then Jesus said, if that doesn't work, take one or two others with you. And then if that doesn't work, they're just not interested in reconciliation, take it to the church. And if that doesn't work, you treat them as an unbeliever. This is what Jesus said. Let's take His method. Number four, for the sake of unity in the church, support your pastor and leaders. Support your pastor and leaders. Let me give you a little secret, a dirty secret you may not know. There are no perfect leaders, and there are no perfect pastors. You guys thought it was different, right? But there are no perfect leaders, there are no perfect pastors. I'm the first to admit that. But God still gives them the responsibility to to maintain the unity that is in the church. Amen. God gives them a heavy responsibility, and I want you guys to know this. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders, submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. It says, first of all, they must give an account. Who to? They're going to give an account to God. One, there's going to come a time I'm going to stand before God and He's going to say, Ken, what did you do at IBC with the time that I gave you there? Did you protect the flock? Did you build up the flock? Did you prepare them for the ministries that I made them to do? I'm going to give an account. But you're also going to give an account to God as well. Between you and God. Or also how well you followed and submitted to your leaders. That's just God's method. That is just the way it is. And I need, in this church, I need your help. I need your protection for the sake of Christ. Let me give you another secret. The pastor and leaders, but primarily the pastor, is frequently taking a lot of flack. You understand what I mean? When somebody's upset and angry with something that's happening in the church, who are they often pointing a finger at? Okay, often towards the pastor. Amen? Amen? Some of you are saying, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's responsible. But that's just the way it is. And I'm getting used to it now. I'm getting used to it. It's okay. But I want to enlist your support. I must enlist and have your support behind me. This is why some of you wonder perhaps why sometimes I get other leaders in the church to put down the hard line on something sometimes. Because I would rather you have them upset at them, or have you upset at them, than upset with me over small, trivial things that is going to stop the work and progress of the church. That's the truth. Because you can be upset with somebody else, and you'll be okay, you'll get over it, and you'll still go to church. Oftentimes people get upset with the pastor, oh, we can't go to that church anymore. Amen? Am I wrong? I know I'm right. I've been around enough to know I'm right on this. And God also gives the pastor responsibility in regards to division, keeping unity. In 2 Timothy 2, there are several passages, but let me give you a couple. 2 Timothy 2, Paul's writing to Timothy, a young pastor. He says to him, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. Amen. And there's a lot of foolish and stupid arguments. There's a lot of things that are storms and teacups. And we really don't need that. Because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's, not squirrels, quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct. This is where it gets really hard. In the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth. And that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. Why do you think he takes them captive to do his will? Because he wants to get us off of our purpose. He wants to get them off our purpose. Hey, there's times when these storms and teacups get so intense and hot and they must be dealt with. But you know how much energy and time it takes? And emotional energy and spiritual energy? It takes a lot. And where does that come from? That comes off of the work. And we lose focus as a team. And we are a team. We are a church. And then in Titus 3, he says, warn a divisive person once, and then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. How much time is there for division in God's work? Okay. Yeah, technically. Very little. That's all I'm looking for. There's very little. We don't have the freedom and the liberty for that kind of division among us. Because the work that we do is far too important. This past Sunday was an awesome Sunday. I don't know how many we had in church. How many? 230? Listen, we had a lot of new people too. But when it came time to ask a question, how many of you are uncertain if you have a relationship with God? We had a lot of hands, guys. And there were some hands out there that I was praying for. There were some people out there that I know don't know the Lord. And we have life and death in our hands. We have eternal life, eternal death in our hands. What we do is far too important than division. Protect your church. Why would you join me in protecting this church? I can't do it alone. I can't. You need to join with me. Will you join with me? Say amen. Now it's time to go to the Lord in prayer. There's going to be three and a half aspects tonight. Three primary aspects. The first one is in regards to our coming AGM meeting. I want to pray not only for that. I mean, it's important. We have our budget to consider. It's important to you guys. I want you guys there. We need you. We don't want to just do everything without bringing you along with us. We need you there. And there are other aspects, but primarily what I want us to pray for is unity, total unity at IBC. Okay? Unity at IBC. Our church has been greatly unified. Our meetings in the past, most of you will know, they've been good. They've been awesome. It's been a time of worship as well as a meeting. We don't have anger and church splits over every purchase that we want to make and carpet color and seating. And it doesn't happen that way. And there's a good reason for that. And we're not going to let it happen. Okay? But let's pray. We must keep it before the Lord in prayer and not take anything for granted. And then after that, I want Michael to lead us in praying for the Easter program and evangelism. And then to wrap it up, Casey's going to lead in some prayer for some of the many seriously sick people in our congregation. And we have a number. And we need to hold them up to the Lord in prayer tonight. But let's start first with just a few